To anyone interested in understanding the modern world's problems, it's a dramatic challenge to understand the 120-mile-long border between the Dominican Republic and Haiti, the two nations dividing the large Caribbean island of Hispaniola that lies southeast of Florida. From an airplane flying overhead, the border looks like a sharp line with bends, abruptly dividing a darker and greener landscape east of the line, the Dominican side, from a paler and browner landscape west of the line, the Haitian side. On the ground, one can stand on the border at many places, face east and look into pine forest, then turn around, face west, and see nothing except fields almost devoid of trees. That contrast visible at the border exemplifies a difference between the two countries as a whole. Originally, both parts of the island were largely forested. Both countries have lost forest cover, but Haiti has lost far more. Today, 28% of the Dominican Republic is still forested, but only 1% of Haiti. In Haiti and the Dominican Republic, just as elsewhere in the world, the consequences of all that deforestation include loss of timber, soil erosion, loss of soil fertility, sediment loads in the rivers, loss of watershed protection and hence of potential hydroelectric power, and decreased rainfall. All of those problems are more severe in Haiti than in the Dominican Republic. The difference in forest cover between the two countries is paralleled by differences in their economies. Both Haiti and the Dominican Republic are poor countries, suffering from corrupt or weak governments, serious problems of public health, and lower agricultural productivity than in the temperate zones. On all those counts, though, Haiti's difficulties are much more serious than those of the Dominican Republic. It is the poorest country in the New World, and one of the poorest in the world outside of Africa. Its perennially corrupt government offers minimal public services. Much or most of the population lives chronically or periodically without public electricity, water, sewage, medical care, and schooling. Haiti is among the most overpopulated countries of the New World, much more so than the Dominican Republic, with barely one-third of Hispaniola's land area, but nearly two-thirds of its population, about 10 million, and an average population density approaching 1,000 per square mile. Most of those people are subsistence farmers. The market economy is modest, consisting principally of some coffee and sugar production for export, a mere 20,000 people employed at low wages in free trade zones making clothing and some other export goods, a few vacation enclaves on the coast where foreign tourists can isolate themselves from Haiti's problems, and a large but unquantified trade in drugs being transshipped from Colombia to the U.S. There is extreme polarization between the masses of poor people living in rural areas or in the slums of the capital of Port-au-Prince and a tiny population of rich elite in the cooler mountain suburb of Pétionville, half an hour's drive from the center of Port-au-Prince, enjoying expensive French restaurants with fine wines. Haiti's rate of population growth and its rates of infection with AIDS, tuberculosis, and malaria are among the highest in the New World. The question that all visitors to Haiti ask themselves is whether there is any hope for the country, and the usual answer is no. The Dominican Republic is more developed, and the problems are less acute. Per capita income is 5 times higher, and the population density and population growth rate are lower. For the past 38 years, the Dominican Republic has been at least nominally a democracy without any military coup, and with some presidential elections from 1978 onwards resulting in the defeat of the incumbent and the inauguration of a challenger, along with others marred by fraud and intimidation. Within the booming economy, industries earning foreign exchange include an iron and nickel mine, industrial free trade zones that employ 200,000 workers and export overseas, agricultural exports, telecommunications, and a large tourist industry. Several dozen dams generate hydroelectric power. The contrasts between the two countries are also reflected in their national park systems. That of Haiti is tiny, consisting of just 4 parks, threatened with encroachment by peasants felling the trees to make charcoal. In contrast, the natural reserve system of the Dominican Republic is relatively the most comprehensive and largest in the Americas, encompassing 32% of the country's land area in 74 parks or reserves, and incorporates all important types of habitat. Of course, the system also suffers from an abundance of problems and a deficiency of funding, but it is nevertheless impressive for a poor country. Behind the reserve system stands a vigorous indigenous conservation movement, with many non-governmental organizations staffed by Dominicans themselves. All those dissimilarities arose despite the fact that the two countries share histories of European colonialism and American occupations, overwhelmingly Catholic religion coexisting with a voodoo pantheon, more notably in Haiti, and mixed African-European ancestry, with a higher proportion of African ancestry in Haiti. For three periods of their history, they were joined as a single colony or country. The differences that exist despite those similarities become even more striking when one reflects that Haiti used to be much richer and more powerful than its neighbor. Why were the outcomes so different in the two countries? And why was it Haiti, rather than the Dominican Republic, that went into steep decline? Some environmental differences do exist between the two halves of the island, and made some contribution to the outcomes. But that is the smaller part of the explanation. Most of the explanation has instead to do with differences between the two peoples in their histories, attitudes, self-defined identity, and institutions, as well as between their recent leaders of government.